In a rural community in Oregon, where there are more cattle than people, a self-styled militia has occupied a national wildlife refuge. It all began with a protest over the arrest of Dwight and Stephen Hammond. They are ranchers near Burns, Oregon, and they got arrested on charges of arson for setting fire to federal land near their ranch. Here to give you an update is Les Zeitz, a reporter for The Oregonian. Les, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
What's happening right now at this National Wildlife Refuge?
Well, at this point, the occupying militants are just holding fort there at the refuge. There's roughly 20 to 25 of them, at least when I was out there yesterday. I haven't been out there today. They are occupying a headquarters compound of the wildlife refuge, which includes office buildings, shops, bunkhouse, kitchen, and that sort of thing. They are free to come and go. There are no police anywhere around the refuge. There's no perimeter. There are no roadblocks. Nothing that would indicate anything is amiss.
And do we know anything about how armed this group is?
Well, they have been when they were in Burns over the weekend. Many of these militants were carrying handguns in holsters on their hips, you know, under lawful ability to carry weapons. At the compound yesterday, when they held a news conference, Eamon Bundy, the rancher running this outfit out there, at the news conference, there was little evidence of any weaponry. You did not see any heavy guns. You saw, I think, maybe one gun left, only one militant carrying a handgun. Otherwise, there was no sign of armor.
As I said, this began with the arrest of these ranchers, Dwight and Stephen Hammond. Why is the militia still there?
Well, that's a good question. Eamon Bundy and the others out there explain that they are trying to protect the Constitution of the United States, and that under the Constitution, the federal government does not have right to own the public ground in Harney County. 75% of this county, which is 10,000 square miles, is held in trust by the federal government. They believe the Hammonds were illegally prosecuted on federal charges because this shouldn't have been federal land, and if there's no federal land, how can you violate a federal law?
What are local people in around Burns, Oregon, saying about this?
Well, I think they're getting a little irritated, but they're also concerned. You know, the school district here shut down for another week after a long holiday break. The federal government offices are closed. The county courthouse is closed out of an abundance of caution, apparently. We don't know of any direct threat to anybody in Burns. In my sense, after being here for 4 days and talking to a good number of ranchers and business owners and just, you know, average people, that they have sympathy for the message of the militants, which is that the government is overreaching, is too powerful, is oppressing people. But they have no sympathy for the tactic. There's no sign that I can find that people think that this occupation was the right thing to do.
Okay, no sympathy for this occupation. But you did talk about a sympathy with this idea of government overreach and oppression. I'm speaking to you, Les. This is a Les Zeitz reporter for The Oregonian. Les, I'm in Seattle, which can be a different world from rural Washington or Oregon. So will you say more about why there is this sympathy or even support for this malicious point of view?
Well, you have to remember that the politics of rural Oregon are vastly different than the politics of the Portland urban area. And so in part, people here feel disenfranchised because the rural community clearly has nowhere near the political clout that the urban area does. Secondly, because of the heavy involvement of the federal government here, people, you know, ranchers and loggers and those that live off the land, I've long felt that the federal government has too many regulations, too many requirements, too much red tape that interferes with being able to earn a living. What's interesting is that the people here speak well of the people they work with on the ground here, with like the Bureau of Land Management. They get along with the range conservationists and officials here. Where they aim their anger is at Washington, D.C.
So finally, Les, you mentioned the fact that there's no police presence discernible here. So I'm wondering how much you think any local sympathy for their grievances might affect the outcome of this, what do we call it, this standoff, this federal occupation of this building in Burns, Oregon.
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand the question, but I don't think that the community attitude about the theology, if you will, of the militants is going to have any impact on decisions by the law enforcement community. Our supposition is that particularly the federal authorities, the FBI is now in charge here, have learned their lessons from Waco and Ruby Ridge, and there's not going to be any heavy raids and incredible offensive push. Rather, there's going to be some sort of a very measured way to bring this to an end, and what that is, they're clearly not telling us.
Les Zeitz, reporter for The Oregonian, covering this ongoing situation at the National Wildlife Refuge there in Harney County, Oregon. Les, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for having me.
So this tension that we've just been talking about, this tension over public land management, that is definitely felt in rural Washington as well. Reporter Anna King is there in eastern Washington, and she told KUOW's David Hyde what people on the other side of the Cascades think about this standoff in Oregon.
You know, they don't think that the self-described militia is maybe the best way to go about this public discussion of how much control should be in federal hands or in state hands and how much should be local. But they do sympathize a bit with that viewpoint, and they would like to see more discussion on that point. A lot of the people I talked to said, you know, that federal wildlife managers and state managers of state lands are often their neighbors and friends, and they go to the same grocery stores, their kids go to the same schools. They know these people well, and they work really well with the people that are at the local level. But they have issue a lot of times with federal mandates that, or state mandates that come from urban areas or from Washington, D.C., that affect their livelihoods. Sometimes those things are harder for people to work through to make sure that their livelihoods are intact when they are trying to deal with new rules and regulations.
Help me understand that, because here in cities like Seattle, here in Western Washington, people on the Twitter are comparing this to a form of domestic terrorism or potential domestic terrorism. The jokes are all about y'all Qaeda, that kind of thing. So why is there any sympathy at all, even if it's not for the tactics, at least for the grievances in rural Washington, rural Oregon?
You know, livelihoods out here are based on hundreds of thousands of acres, even for just sometimes one ranch family to make a living. So when you're talking about that much land, sometimes urban people don't understand how that comes to play for one family. But take this for an example. A ranch woman I talked to this morning said for every cow they run, every head of cattle, they need 25 acres to make that ranch work. And so they run about 600 head. Well, if you do the math, that's a lot of acreage, and that doesn't include the winter ground they run. And then they've had severe droughts the last couple of years out there. So they need even more land per cow because there's not as much grass. And so they know that land. And sometimes families have been running the same federal or state lands for 3-4 generations. And so when federal managers or state managers that are not from their area tell them, well, you can't use that part of your backyard or you are going to have to run less cattle, that might mean the difference between their family surviving out there or their business going under. And so tensions run high, and they understand. A lot of these ranchers say, we don't want to see any species go extinct, or we don't want to not take care of the land. We want the land to survive so that we can pass this down to our grandchildren and their grandchildren.
Bottom line, Anna, how do most people you talk to want this standoff to end?
I think everybody is concerned, and in rural areas, people are voicing their concern that this is resolved peacefully. They do think that there is room for more public discussion about how federal and state lands are managed and how mandates come down that would affect their livelihood. but they don't believe guns and violence or any kind of standoff with the federal government is maybe the best approach. A lot of the ranchers are real businessmen. They work on global scale, on global markets, and they understand that they need to work with their politicians and with public discourse to solve issues of public land management.
Correspondent Anna King talked with KUOW's David Hyde from Eastern Washington, and we're discussing this group of anti-government protesters that has occupied a building at a national wildlife refuge in Oregon, in Harney County, Oregon. They're at the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, and we'll keep following it for you here on KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information.